started.
The road is long.
Pray with me, my brothers, to the only presence in our universe who gives us perpetual liberty and light, life and love, Lord, men of Omega have come together early in the week and early in the morning in an effort to synchronize our being with your holy will for our daily living. Receive our petitions this morning as we seek both direction and assistance and guidance from thee. Guide our heads in what and how we think, our hearts in what and how we feel, our hands in what and how we do. And Lord, we thank you for the grace extended to the daughter of our brother Ben Beatty, for she was involved in a serious automobile accident over the weekend. And all we know to say is, but God. Together we stand before you, Lord, in humble submission as we pray. Amen. Oh, blessed morning to each of you, my brothers, as men of Omega come together to fellowship one with each other and to turn our attention heavenward to receive and acknowledge blessings from our God. Brothers, when we pray, God hears more than we say, answers more than we ask, gives more than we imagine, but in his own time and in his own way. So when we pray, aren't you gratified in the knowledge that Omega has a long history of our elected leadership acknowledging that any power that they may possess comes not from their own person, but from the power that can only come from on high? So in humble submission this morning, our past and present grand officers, in the person of our first vice grand marshalist, Mark Jackson, our grand keeper of finance, Lee Rideout, our grand keeper of records and seals, Sherman Charles, our grand counselor, Clement Osemita. For they stand in the shoes once worn by the superlative sagacity of G.B. 35 Dorsey Miller and the unmatched wisdom and insight of G.B. 40 Antonio Knox. Brothers, who prayerfully intercedes for us? Better than the winsome prayer warrior, immediate past Grand Chaplain Walter T. Richardson, or the steadfast and sturdy staccato Powell, our former Grand Chaplain, who along with Professor Ray Johnson set in motion this awesome duty, daily opportunity to commune with each other as we commune with the Lord. Now helping us in the effort of teaching us to count our every blessing is our immediate past Grand Keeper of Finance, Johnny Smith, that leading us in the vision firstly cast by our founders in the long ago is the captain of our friendship, GB 42, Ricky Lawrence Lewis. Brothers, those around you may worry, but those who are secure in their faith understand that whether it be economic, social, or political adversity before you, the Lord is holding your hand. And our brother David Williams brings a different level of understanding to us with affirmation that in whatever problem that he may face, God has got it. So come now, Brother Williams, and share with us just where your confidence comes from. My brother, the line is yours.
Good morning, Brother Grant. Comms check. Can you hear me?
Morning. Yes, sir.
Good morning, brothers. Protocol already being established. I greet you in the name of the mighty, the almighty. That's one that gives me strength to just go forward. You know, when Reverend Graham called me or asked me, would I be prepared, I said absolutely. I said absolutely because some of my challenges have been mostly medical lately. And because of those challenges, sometimes you want to, you get into your feelings a little bit and you want to ask yourself certain questions, like why, instead of why not me. God doesn't put anything on us we can't handle. And in August, I was at the doctor getting the routine checkup, found out I had some issues with my prostate, and the doctor said, we're going to have to go in and do some work. Okay, doc, whatever you got to do, I'm going to pray about it, and it's going to be taken care of. I'm not worried about what you have to do, because God's got me. So we did that procedure in August, and lo and behold, in September, I'm looking in, getting some more work done, checkups, and I've already had three back surgeries, major back surgeries, and they found a cyst about the size of a quarter sitting against my spinal cord, and that was the reason why I've been falling. So the doctor said, we need to go on and get that out of there because any step now, you could be paralyzed. I said, well, I'm walking now, doc, and I plan to be walking later. So I prayed, came home and told my wife, hey, we're going to have to go through one more of these back surgeries. And this might be a doozy, but God's got it. You sure you want it? God's got it. God has got it. So on October the 30th, went in to have that surgery. It's supposed to have been 3 hours. It ended up being 7 hours because they found nerves wrapped around that cyst. And God took his delicate hands and unwrapped those nerves and allowed that surgeon to remove that cyst. Coming into recovery, I felt good. I woke up feeling good, feeling strong. But then that morphine wore off. And I'm telling you, brothers, that pain was so excruciating, more than any other surgery I've ever had, any pain I've ever had. And right now I'm still learning to walk again because there was some damage to the cord. But God's got it. You know, God has got it. And he's always had it. And I know that in time, as I go through this recovery period, I'm going to come out stronger than ever, walking better than I was before, because God has never let me down. And my time may not be God's time. Oh, yeah, I want to be walking straight and upright right now. But God said, I took you through this for a reason. You have a testimony, and I'm going to take you a little further through it, but I'm going to bring you through it because I always do. And when your faith wants, call my name. Just remember, in spite of it all, I've always been there, and I will always be there. And he has been, and he is. And when I couldn't put one foot in front of the other, he lifted it and put it before me. He carries me through every single day. And though I know I have a few months ahead of me of struggle, going through rehab and trying to walk, like I told you before, I'm going to be upright and stepping, high stepping, before too long, because God has got it. So, brothers, I come to you today to tell you, no matter what the challenge is, whether it's medical, personal, professional, what have you, call on God. He is always there, and he will never let you down. Brother Grant, I yield.
Oh, God bless you, Brother Williams. Brother Williams, I've come up out of my chair listening to you. My brother, you do have a testimony. Three words. God's got it. Oh, God bless you, my brother. Thank you so very much. My brothers, the prayer wheel turns every other Monday back to a familiar voice, one that possesses the wisdom that comes with the passage of time, giving observation to all the good and perfect gifts that come from his God, hearing how God directs his path. He's my friend, and I love sitting at his feet because I always learn something that I had not previously known. Oh, he preached me happy last evening on the 3rd District Weekly Praise, Preaching, and Praying Gathering. Give ear to him, the Reverend Courtney Lumumba Miller, chaplain to the 3rd District, as he shares with us from the deep wells of understanding with which our God has blessed him. Brother Miller, the line is yours.
God bless Brother Grant. We thank God for the blessed privilege to be with you here again on this morning. And how are you, Brother Grant Johnson? Brother Grant, can you hear me?
I had already muted myself. I am well, Brother Miller. I thank you for your prayers.
Thank you so much. Thank
Fisher
you so much.
Fisher has intimidated me to keep muted.
Look, he will do that. He will do that. We just thank God for this, the sixth day of the month of January, as my Aunt Eunice would say. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rightly rejoice and be glad in it, and not only rejoice, but regale in the promises and goodness of our God. We're reading today, as always, from the book of beginnings, the book of origins, the book that is the cornerstone and the anchor to the diaspora of God's people, the book of the Pentateuch. That begins the book of the Pentateuch, begins the book of the laws of Moses, the book of Genesis. And today we're looking at chapters 15, 16, and 17. Brothers, I remind you that walking with God is no easy task. That's why we walk through the Bible daily. Walking with God is a pace setter, one that gives us the cadences of God's promises, one that gives us the access to God's presence. Walking with God is no easy task, but God gives prescription on how we shall maintain our pace with Him. Often as we walk with God, as Abram did and many of his descendants, walking ahead of God causes us great problems. We must remember that God has given Abram, later Abraham, the greatest promise known to man. He did it in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, Genesis chapter 13 and 16, Genesis chapter 15 verses 4 and 5. When he picked up lonely Abraham and lifted him up along with his barren wife to give them access to the portals of eternity by transferring them from just mere mortals into the office of eternity as seen through Jesus Christ. Walking with God can often be a problem because it inspires our petulance and even our impatience. God had already given Abram a promise and said that he would make Abram's descendants many. And out of those descendants would come tribes of many names, often hard to pronounce, but steeped in God's promise and fulfillment. Abram could not wait for God to do what God said that he would do, so he got out, as often as we do, ahead of God. And there were consequences to be paid for getting ahead of God. Abraham, you see, had been promised that he would be the father, the operative word, father of many. But as we see, his name being Abraham was short of his name to come. Abram was short of his name to come. Abraham, which means father of many. So in that, in conversation with his wife, she granted him permission to go outside of the marriage and bring into the marriage one that would bear him a son, because she stood barren, and it was impossible to bear biological children. So in that union, we find Hagar, who bore a son with Abram, Hagar, who was later visited by God and reminded her of her misery, but yet she cured her even in that and saw her. In that, outside of God's promise, because of his impatience, God saw now another dimension added to the family of his creation. We see in chapter 15 Abram's covenant of faith, which was God's promise to his people. We see in chapter 16 Abram's child of impatience, the presumption that God could not complete what God said he would do. In chapter 17, Abram's covenant confirmed the prescribed right to signify all that who were the seed of God's fulfillment. Brothers, we ask the question today, how many times did we get out in front of God? There are more than 3,573 identifiable promises that God has given God's people. But yet, even with these blessed assurances, we sometimes wait, hurry, and don't wait on God. You know the words of the song, you can't hurry God, you just have to wait. Remind yourself of this every day, that if God said it, that settles it. That if God says it, that settles it, and it shall be done. Let's look back at the 2020 of our own lives. Let's take into account the vision that we see. How many times as believers, as God, and even before we came into the fullness of the revelation of God's promise, did we see something or feel something would come our way, but yet we could not wait? We saw delay as denial, and we got ahead of our prescription to our own success and did something contrary yet detrimental to our benefit. See, the problem with Abraham is like the problem with us. So often our perception of God's grandeur is way too small. If God can wake up the lily of the valley and make them open their head in order to receive rays of life to produce pollen that will yet be shared with bees to pollinate the earth, why can't God see the intricacies of our lives? See, Abram's problem was that he assumed that Sarah's barrenness was the period to God's probability in his promise. But no, that was not an obstacle. That was an opportunity for God to do exactly what God said he would. You know, the word of God never returns void. Once it is speaking and sent, God is not man that he should lie. God had already told Abraham what he would do. Abraham couldn't wait on it, yet he got out ahead of himself. But then that presented God with an opportunity to clean up our mess up. Secondly, Abraham's patience was way too short. He got out in a hurry. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. But with every opportunity for God to fulfill our faith with his substance, that's another opportunity to just wait a little while longer. Stand on God's word and then wait to see what the end is going to be. Sing the words of the song that says, Lord, help me to hold out until my change comes. In chapter number 16, the end of chapter number 15, we see how God speaks to him. He says, look, listen, verse 14, I will punish the nation that serves the slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possession. Even when people predicted who had been serving us in servitude against the great nation of Egypt, he said, you will come out with great possessions. That's something to shout about right now, that even in the middle of your own pain, predicament, or problem, God has said on the other side of that, you will have reason to praise because you will see your increase. Then he goes on to say, you, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at old age. Continually, not only you, but all the way through the fourth, fifth, and sixth generations going forward. He promised them land. He promised them increase, even when they couldn't see any possibility. In chapter number 16, God says to Abram and Sarah that they would bear them children, but yet they had none at the time. And then we have this encounter with Hagar. Hagar, who now stands as a memorial not only to Abram's impatience, but Sarah's willingness. And then in chapter 17, we have God's promises yet fulfilled some years later. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him his son Ishmael, but yet he still had to wait 13 more years in order to see God's promise to him. If nothing more from this text, we learn that God does not operate in our time, but God always operates on time. Think in your own life when God operated later than you expected, but God's operation was really right on time. He fulfills his covenant in chapter 17 between himself and Abram. The promise to greatly increase his numbers was already beginning. God not only changed his situation, but he changed his content, his name. He changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham, which simply means that he would be the father. and then changed his name Sarai to Sarah, which means she would be the princess. For we already understand that Eve was the mother of all generations. God sends them both out in order to increase the land, and increase the land in such a way that even from their loins, from their seed, we find the Father, we find the Son of God who became our connection to eternity. We thank God for the sign that God gave Abraham, that even once you have been identified as the father of the faithful by way of circumcision, you are connected to your brothers and sisters forever. I thank today at this ripe old age that I am, that I do not have to undergo circumcision again, but through the power of Jesus Christ, he has circumcised our hearts, in order that we too could be connected to the promise and the covenant of God's eternal keeping through the faithfulness of Abraham, his son. God uses this text to teach us to be careful in complaint, to be always in compliance, to be circumspect in our deportment, to be faithful in our carrying out of God's promises, to be trustworthy with his rewards, to be expected in his delivery, and to be patient on his word. Brothers, if you can just be reminded of what God has already done and take great desire to what God shall do, why not start today? Don't wait until tomorrow. Your best day is yet to come. Live in faith of the mustard seed. Live in faith, the faith to speak to mountains that they might be moved. Live in faith, faith that if God said it, that settles it, and it shall be done. And just wait and see how God reveals God's self to you, his precious promises, yet still reaching their potential. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us look at our prayer request today. We thank God for the presence of all of those who shared with us on last evening on the Third District Prayer Call, Prayer, Praise, and Worship Call, and those who were able to join us with the 12th District as we shared in partnership with the brothers on the West Coast, or as we say on the East and Left, and our dear friend, Brother Chuck Clemens. We're praying today for the family of Mrs. Sheila Wright, and the crossing of her mother, Mrs. Priester, into the great beyond. We're praying for Joshua Dawkins today, a seventh grader who's a member of the Black Rhinos Mentorship Program. We're praying for Brother Brian Martin, his father, who transitioned on Friday. Lastly, we're praying for the aunt of Brother Tony Kirk, Betty Young, who underwent surgery on the Sunday afternoon. We're praying today for Brother Al White's mother-in-law, Sister Lydia Wilkins. She was rushed on to hospital on yesterday. We're continuing to pray for Brother Anthony Hardy, who's headed to West Virginia, and healing restoration of his son, AJ. We're praying, as Brother Grant said this morning, for the daughter of Brother Ben Beatty, who was in an accident over the weekend. We're praying for healing comfort for Dr. Benjamin Frazier Beatty and his wife. We just said that. We're praying for healing prayers for Patricia Halliburton and the neighbor and his neighbor battling cancer, and Elder Gwen and family friend Rita Jones, who are battling cancer as well, on behalf of Brother Scott. We'll continue to pray for the men of the 3rd District. We're praying for our 31st District. Praying for our 31st District Representative, Brother Sean R. Lacey, and in that we're praying for Brother Charles Chambers, Kenneth A. Brown, James R. Clark. We're praying for Brother Robert W. Fairchild, who is still in Washington VA Center. We're continuing to pray for our friend Joseph C. McKinney, Brother Gary C. Clark, James P. Peterson, even as he moves through his first season without his son, Brother Rafael Harris, Brother Curtis Baylor, Robert Lewis, Mark E. Jackson, our first vice, Grand Boston Sr., Brother Anthony Knight, Robert C. Warren Jr., Brother Ezekiel Zenison, Brother Kevin KB Brown, Brother Conrado Morgan. We're lifting up these men and their families always in our prayers. We're praying for Brother Steve Johnson, who is traveling today to Ethiopia. We're praying that God keeps him and shares with him traveling grace. We're praying for Brother Anthony Grigsby and the loss of his sister in Houston, Texas. We're keeping him and that family in our prayers. We'll continue to pray for the Henrico County Doctors Hospital and all the babies in NICU that are victims of evilness that have happened. We're praying for the families in New Orleans and Las Vegas. We're praying for those that will be hit by the inclement weather. We're praying for Terrence Miller on the loss that he has suffered in his family. We continue to pray healing for Brother Mark Clemens, the brother of Brother Mark Clemens. We're praying for the brother of Robert Clemens, Mark Clemens. We're praying for them. We're praying for Marilyn Clemens to overcome depression. We're praying for Whitney Barner as she recovers from cancer. We're praying for Brother Jim Mason's continued recovery from successful heart transplant surgery. We're praying for the McLean family. Brother McLean's sister, wife's sister's husband passed. We're praying for the Lion Brother of Damon Wright, Boris Todd's mother, Sherrod Todd, who's on life support and declining. We continue to pray for Brother Anthony Reed's mother as she heals. And we're praying healing mercy for Mark Anderson and Coach Jim Bibbs. Our prayer requests are great. We're sorry that we never apologize for praying for others, but we continue to lift them up, believing and knowing that God still hears and answers prayers. Brothers, let us gather our hearts and minds together and lift up those prayers in your spirit that you did not put in prayingomegas@gmail.com, prayingomegas@gmail.com, and we will take them to the throne of grace. Whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon, whisper a prayer in the evening time, that our committed and compassionate and consecrated hearts might stay in tune. O God, creator and sustainer and provider of the songs of the keys of our own lives, the songs that remind us of your greatness, your presence, your omniscience, your immutability, the songs that remind us of your faithfulness, the new mercies that show us how great you are, the songs that remind us that you are a blessed assurance through the presence, promise, and the preeminence of your Son, Jesus Christ. Your songs that give us permission to praise you forever and ever. Your songs that remind us of your prominence as our great battle axe in the time of war. The songs that give us a sense of your grandeur, of how you can look across the expanse of troubled waters and see your bridge that you have provided. The songs that encourage us to uplift and strengthen as you remind us that we ain't heavy, but we are one another's brothers. We thank you for the soundtrack that has become the songs of our keys of a life that are punctuated by the promise that yes, Jesus does love us, for the Bible tells us so. And you've given us a book of your promises that remind us that even in the Bible, the book that is made for us, inside of that book is the promise that shall sustain us. We ask now that you descend on us and remind us of all of your promises, even as we celebrate with our own soundtrack, which becomes our songs in the keys of our lives. Make those songs resonate and melodically match our own tenor and tone. And even when we can't find the tone, we thank you for the reminder in the Psalms that we might make a joyful noise, even unto a God that hears. And if we can find the sweet savor of our own song that we sing in our times of trouble, we can sing our way through our problems. And then we can even look back melodically over the spans of the course of our life, and we think things over, and we can say we are truly blessed as you have led us through troubled waters. Oh, God, we thank you for these songs, for we'll sing them to our problems and problems of, oh, how we got over. Now, oh, God, you've heard our prayers, even melodically spoken. You've seen our hearts, and you know our voices. Now operate, give hear, and give heed. As we feel the prayer, we're turning, and we know the fire is burning. We can now say that we've had a little talk with Jesus because you've given us the songs and the key of life. We already know that you'll make it all right. Now act, oh God, in your time and in your way, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. As always, for the angels bow before us and heaven and earth adore us. And that's why we praise your mighty name. Let the men of Omega say resoundingly, amen. Amen and amen.
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 Hey, brother, how are we doing?
Good morning, brother West.
What's the word on?